kind of over the weeks, actually for a couple of weeks now, I've been kind of thinking about what the subject was going to be for tonight. And what I had in mind was, the idea of staying focused, of not getting distracted from, the path or the way, as it's referred to, which is, the gospel or the teachings of God and Christ. And so, yesterday when I started working on this, as I got my passages ready of what I was going to talk, I came upon the account of Josiah in Kings. And typically when I do this, I go and look at the passages and I spend, anywhere from, 10 at the most, 10 minutes, 15 minutes looking at that and move on to the other references. And after a couple of hours, I was still in that same area. So I decided that since I was so intrigued by it, and I've read it before, and in fact, I believe it was Brother Travis who came up here and preached on it one Sunday night, that I decided to preach on it or to just read from it actually tonight. But before we get any farther, why don't we bow and let's pray. Our Father, which are in heaven, we thank you so much for all the things that you do for us, Lord, and for giving us your word. We quite often do not even realize how much you have given us just by giving us your word, Lord, in Scripture, and how rich it is, and how much help and encouragement that we can find in there, and how we can find out what your will is for us, Lord. We pray that you can bless everyone here through your word, and that you can just be with us, Lord, and help me to relay it in a way that is to your favor. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. First Timothy 4:13. Let's see if I got that right. This is Paul speaking. He says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." And tonight, primarily, that's what it's going to be is going to be a reading. It's going to be a public reading. So it's definitely going to be in keeping with what Paul is asking us to do in our gatherings. As I kind of alluded, aside from the fact that the Bible is God's inspired word, it is in its own right very rich in its various contents. History is one of those areas. Tonight, as I kind of already said, I would like to, for the most part, read from the Bible. On occasions, I will insert a comment or an explanation. As I read these, as I said previously, I was blessed through them. I pray that you will also be blessed in the reading tonight. A little bit just to give us an idea of where chronologically our reading tonight fits. King Saul was the first king of Israel. And he reigned, at least according to his history and what the Bible teaches and other areas, between 1021 and 1000 BC, so approximately 3,000 years ago. King David then succeeds or comes after King Saul. He was from 1000 to 962 BC. King Solomon comes after that, 962 to 922 BC. After that is Rehoboam. And he succeeds King Solomon. Very soon, as he starts, the kingdom splits into two. We have the northern kingdom, which is Israel, and the southern kingdom, which is called Judah. Rehoboam rules in Judah, in that region, which is in the south. Josiah is going to be the person of primary interest tonight. But between Solomon and Josiah, there are 14 kings in about 282 years between them. So Josiah rules the southern kingdom or Judah between 640 and 609 BC. And so about 600 years before Christ came. A lot can change, and indeed did change from the time of Solomon to the time of Josiah. Solomon was blessed. He was given wisdom and riches beyond what other kings had, and he was given the honor of building the holy temple. Towards the end of his life, there was a low point. He disobeyed the Lord's commands, and there began a decline in the kingdom of Israel. 1 Kings 11:4 through 13. I'll be reading from there, and it talks about King Solomon's later years. And it reads, "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not follow the Lord fully, as David his father had done." Verse 7. "Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, on a mountain which is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. So the Lord said to Solomon, 'Because you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of your hand, out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen.'" As I was reading this, I'm reading about these idols. I decided to do a little research on what exactly they are. And the ones that are mentioned here, which will come up again. Ashtoreth, the goddess of war and sexual love. That's taken from the Encyclopedia Britannica. Quite often they would build statues, figurines, female figurines, and that was a representation of Ashtoreth. They would also build huge temples for these idols. Baal or Baal was a god of fertility. He was called the Lord of the Earth, Lord of rain and dew, He who rides in the clouds, Lord of the heavens. You can see why Jehovah, the one true God, would be jealous of us having these idols, you know, where they're given titles that are supposed to be just for God. One of the sources reads, "Baal worship apparently had its origin in the belief that every tract of ground owed its productivity to a supernatural being, or Baal, that dwelt there. The farmers probably thought that from the Baalim, or fertility gods of various regions, came the increase of crops, fruit, and cattle. The worship of Baal was accompanied with lascivious rites. And that's, you know, the reference here is 1 Kings 14:24. The sacrifice of children and fire by parents, Jeremiah 19:5. And kissing the image, 1 Kings 19:18 and Hosea 3:2. And here it also says that Baal was often associated with the goddess Ashtoreth. So the fact that they're both mentioned together is kind of, it's, you know, it's consistent. Shamash, he was considered the supreme god of the Moabites, and apparently not much else is known about this idol that I could find. But as I continue here, the account of Josiah is a brighter chapter in the history of God's people, and it's also a great lesson for us. So now, if you'd like, you can turn to 2 Kings 22, and we're going to read the whole chapter here. Another one that's going to come up is Moloch or Molech. Another idol. He's depicted as an image of a man with the head of a bull, and this is probably one of the ones that they know a little bit more about. But a fire was made in a hollow bronze statue of the image, and children were sacrificed to this idol in that fire. Another word that's going to come up also is teraphim, and what these are is divination images. Okay, 2 Kings 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left. Now in the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord. Now if we do our math here, Josiah was about 26 years old. So quite a bit younger than I am, but about the age of a lot of you guys, a few of you people here. So he was a young man. Verse 4. Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money brought into the house of the Lord, which doorkeepers have gathered from the people. Let them deliver it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are in the house of the Lord to repair the damages of the house. Apparently the Lord's house, or the temple, was, you know, it wasn't being kept up. Verse 6. To the carpenters and the builders and to the masons for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Only no accounting shall be made with them for the money delivered into their hands, for they deal faithfully. Here it becomes clear that Josiah had confidence in these men. For some reason, which we're not given too much detail, at least in this account, they were meant to be trusted, so no account was to be given to them. He knew that they were going to do well with the money that they were being given. Verse 8. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought back word to the king and said, your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the high priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. I'll stop here for a minute. Apparently what he read was very, very disturbing to him. Something in those words really, really had an effect on him. If at the time, if we're talking about the book of the law, we're probably talking, most likely was the five books of the Old Testament, including Deuteronomy. So I found a few passages from Deuteronomy, which we can be pretty certain that were read to him. Obviously, more of it was written, but I just picked a few here. So I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 4:23 through 28. So watch yourselves that you do not forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourself a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you become the father of children and children's children and have remained long in the land and act corruptly and make an idol in the form of anything and do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord your God so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will surely perish quickly from the land where you are going. Excuse me. Over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not live long on it, but will be utterly destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord drives you. There you will serve gods, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him for you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. Deuteronomy 5:6-10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy 27:15. Cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. So one could only imagine the state of the nation at the time, of the land and of the people, were in such state that when he read these things, he had no choice. If he wanted to be honest with who he was and who his God was, you know, and how he felt. Let's go back and continue. So I'll start again with 11, 2 Kings 22:11. So when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah the king's servant, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhash, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her. She said to them, Thus says the Lord of God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read. because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall he say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see all the evil which I bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. I'm going to continue reading to the into the next chapter. So now we're in 23:1. Then the king sent, and they gathered to him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people entered into the covenant. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the doorkeepers, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, for Asherah, for all the host of heaven, and he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. Just a comment here. It appears that, you know, the things had gotten so bad that not only did people have these idols like in their own homes, and but they had made their way into the temple. Verse 5. He did away with the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had appointed to burn incense in high places in the cities of Judah and in the surrounding area of Jerusalem. Also those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the constellations and to all the hosts of heaven. He brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and ground it to dust and threw its dust on the graves of the common people. He also broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes which were in the house of the Lord where the women were weaving hangings for the Asherah. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places of the gates which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not go up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. He also defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire for Molech. That's a reference to perhaps what could have been, it's not clear whether they were actually sacrificing, at least in this case, the children to Molech, but they were certainly, you know, paying tribute to him. It could have been child sacrifice, but it could also, you know, from some of the commentaries, they were just like passing like over the fire, kind of like, you know, kind of ritualistic thing. In any case, it was definitely a violation of God's law. Something that was wrong. Verse 11. He did away with the horses which the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entrance of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan Melech, the official, which was in the precincts, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. some commentary on this verse here was that they had a pagan belief that the sun god was depicted as a chariot, a chariot of fire, going through the sky. And so very likely a practice that they had that was related to that. And so they had these like ceremonial chariots and these horses that they would use to kind of celebrate that god, if you will, that they represented the sun. Verse 12, the altars which were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down, and he smashed them there, and threw their dust into the brook Kidron. The high places which were before Jerusalem, which were on the right of the Mount of Destruction, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the sons of Ammon, the king defiled. He broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherim and filled their places with human bones. And here in verse 13, we can see a reference to what had happened, close to 300 years before him. And I guess what we can, one of the things that I see here is how sometimes the things that we do, especially those that have a lot of influence and a lot of power, sometimes the things they do have lasting effects. I mean, here's Solomon; he's been gone for so long, and these things that he had built, that were against God's will, were still there, still being used for evil. I guess it's a lesson towards us too that it's not only the things that we do necessarily and how they affect us just here on this life, but even when we're gone, they can still have effects on others. I guess the good side to that is that they can also be positive. We can do things that have lasting good, and so that's, for example, what Josiah did, we're reading it here today, and it's something that's giving us encouragement. Not everything is bad. Verse 15. Furthermore, the altar that was at Bethel, in the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, even that altar and the high place he broke down. Then he demolished its stones, ground them to dust, and burned the Asherah. Now when Josiah turned, he saw the graves that were there on the mountain. And he sent and took the bones from the graves and burned them on the altar and defiled it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these things. Then he said, "What is this monument that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the grave of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar of Bethel." He said, "Let him alone. Let no one disturb his bones." So they left his bones undisturbed with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. So apparently, from some of the commentaries I was reading, this was this altar or this this kind of thing that they had built up in a high place, and those that served in that pagan, those pagan rituals that wanted to be honored, they were buried near it, so kind of like in honor of whatever god they used, and so they bury them there, and those are the bones that Josiah takes out and burns on top of that same altar. And to the Jewish people, to do that was a a very dishonorable thing, you know. So for him to do that was basically showing, look, you know, for those who choose to follow the idols, you know, this is what's gonna happen to you. You know, it's just a bad thing. And apparently there was a prophet who had gone up there, according to the word here, who had spoken of someone who would go and defile that altar. And so his bones were there, and he honored him by leaving him alone. Verse 19, Josiah also removed all the houses of the high places which were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made, provoking the Lord, and he did to them just as he had done in Bethel. All the priests of the high places who were there he slaughtered on the altars and burned human bones on them. Then he returned to Jerusalem. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, celebrate the Passover of the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Surely such a Passover had not been celebrated from the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was observed to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah removed the mediums and the spiritists and the teraphim and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might confirm the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And I will end with verse 25. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him.